welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook. This is episode 380, do you know? Do you know that? Is that relevant, Adam Carroll?
Yes, I guess so, because that means we've done a shit ton.
But the thing is, right, it's not actually episode 380, because that the episodes will be like Game of Year. Like this year, that's five episodes that weren't numbered. We did loads of, like, what did we call them? Because we used to call this the Godcast, and then I realised that it was a bit too... I mean, people always ask us, is it religious, right? And then...
Really?
Like, no. Yeah, people always ask, is God as a geek a religious thing? And it isn't. And then calling your podcast the Godcast kind of made it seem more religious. And then I think we did, like, Godcast extras and stuff. So there's definitely more than 400 episodes. But this is 380. We're approaching 400, which would be officially 400. We should do something.
Yeah.
You know, that's 20 weeks away. Should we scramble and record a live one? We should do a live one.
We should do something special.
We should do is decide off the podcast, with more than just you and I deciding the fate of it, I think. it's that time of year where there are games. We have got, like, at the time of recording this, like 15 to 20 games are in the process of being reviewed. The ones that we would probably talk about here right now, I can't talk about, but the podcast goes live Wednesday. You can't talk about it. Journey to the Savage Planet is a game I've had an eye on for a while. I've been playing that for over a week now. Can't talk about it. So Adam, hopefully Adam Carroll, or at Adam Zokes on Twitter, you can shed some light on what you've been playing.
So it's always a weird time of the year, because you're kind of like, I always feel you're still at the start of January, you're kind of going into your backlog, and then games slowly start coming out and you're like, oh shit, now I'm building it all up again. But at the moment I'm still playing Dragon Quest 11. Yeah, absolutely still just completely in love with this game. There's a particular character. I don't know how far you got into that, but
very far.
Did you meet the character Silvando?
I don't think so. He doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, because he's just hilarious. He is just like, he's really kind of like flamboyant, kind of like he's a traveling performer, and he's just like, I just think the characters are really great. And do you know, like JRPGs, I may have said this before, but like, you start up a JRPG and you're kind of going, like, will I click with this? Because it's going to be 60 to 80, possibly 100 hours. And do you know when it just, the hooks come in and they just grab you and you're like, yep, I am up for this. I love this world. I love the battle system. Dragon Quest is doing all that for me. So I'm still on that. I do have ready to go Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which is...
Oh, did you get that on Switch?
I got it on Switch. I'm going to probably go to that next after Dragon Quest. I just don't really want to be playing like so many JRPGs at once, because
I don't think you can. Can you? I don't think that's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you. I mean, you can, but I'm not saying something. It wouldn't be ideal, would it?
It's not really my thing, because it's like I just get so invested with the characters I like sticking to just that one bunch for the duration of time that I am playing it. But Tokyo Mirage is next. And then I also ended up picking up another JRPG, which is just City altogether. Yeah. But I didn't know that Tales of Vesperia was... I did know that it was out in Xbox 360. But when it got re-released again as the definitive edition on like PS4 and Switch and Xbox One, I think.
It did, yeah.
I think this is possibly one of the only Tales games I've never played. So I actually ended up purchasing that for some silly reason as well to add to the pile. So I have these three gigantic RPGs to play. I have also been... I've continued Outer Wilds. I'm really getting the hang of that game.
I've fallen right off of it. I think I'm probably not going to go back. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I can respect and appreciate what that game is and what that game does and that game's style, aesthetic, and soundtrack. But as a game, I can't. Like, when I'm playing it, I'm fine, but I can't. It just... It's not... I don't keep coming back to it. I just can't. I don't know what it is. I'm just not gelling with it.
Yeah, I get it. I think one of my issues, and I don't know, like, a lot of people could be like, oh, that's not... You can't say that because this is the charm of the game. But the time loop mechanic, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, right? I understand it. I obviously get that part of it. But there's a part of me that you're not supposed to rush this game, clearly, right? They want you to... It's a slow burner. You discover at your kind of own leisure, really. And you have that time limit, and that's that. My thing is that when I get to a planet, and all of a sudden, like, I went to one area, and I discovered a part, and I was like, ooh, what's this? And then that particular... Like, that initial, ooh, what's this situation, ended up opening up another door to another, ooh, what's this? And then another door, and then another door, and then before I knew it, the music starts coming in. And I'm like, but I'm not finished this part, and I don't want to go away yet, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, there's stuff to look at. So, for me, going back and then obviously putting into your log, into the ship computer, and then it updates itself, whatever, I'm like, cool, but... I would have happily stayed there for just a little bit longer just to see if I hit a dead end. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of aspect does slightly annoy me. It hasn't happened a whole pile, but I've gotten the ship control down. I'm able to just like full-blown take off, land, all that jazz really, really easy and stuff. Because at first it's a bit of a weird one. Like, it's strange to control that ship. I'm still, I don't know where I am, like, in terms of finishing it. I have no idea. Like, I've put in a fair amount of time, but I'm amazed it's still going, and it doesn't seem to really, like, the lore and stuff is coming out, and I'm piecing together a story, obviously, but, like, I still feel like there's a lot for me to kind of, like, discover. So still at that, and I'm back on the whole Mario Kart 8 buzz, and I just want to ask you quickly about Mario Kart 8's cups, right? Is there any cup in particular that you just dislike? Like, did you just like...
No, but I also can't remember there any of them because they're always called, like, Mushroom Star Flower, so I can't...
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm going to say straight off the bat, I don't enjoy the Special Cup at all. Special Cup has Cloud Top Cruise, Bone Dry Dunes, Bowser's Castle, and Rainbow Road. And... Okay. It's just one of those cups that I just feel is... Like, if you had... Do you know, have you ever, like, played a cup and you're like, the first race is shit. And then the second one, it's shit again. And then you just know from there on, this is bad. This is going to be a bad run for me. And everything goes horribly wrong and you're getting tons of red shells. There's something about that cup anyway. But I'm just back on the whole Mario Kart 8 buzz again. Man, the hours I have put into that game is... It's terrifying, really. It really and truly is. That's all, really, man. It's just a mishmash of everything and anything. Like at this stage, I'm just waiting for Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal to come out.
Yep.
Do you know
that? And Ori and the Blind Forest, but I suppose not so much for you because it's Xbox, isn't it? So
yes.
Sorry, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, not Blind Forest. That one's came out.
So that is only going to be Xbox for now, yeah.
Xbox and PC, it'll be That's but next
it'll
month.
It'll surely come to Switch eventually or something like that, won't it?
I mean, the first one did, so there's no reason it couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'd suspect it won't for a while, but...
Mm. Yeah, so that's all really, man. Not a whole pile. What about you?
So I started playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, right? Because I'm a fan of Dragon Ball Z. I've seen all of the episodes. My wife and I were even starting to go through Dragon Ball Super, which we not all the way through. I've seen some of the films. I haven't seen Broly yet. I sort of had a feeling I'd feel this way about it, the game, but I still wanted to try it because I'm a fan, you know. It's like a new Mario game. You're always going to try it because you're a fan of Mario. I don't think Kakarot's for me, but I'm not sure who it's for. Right?
But before you say anything, for someone like me anyway, what is this game in the Dragon Ball series?
It's Dragon Ball Z, the story.
But like in terms of like its gameplay, are we getting like... Like, is this just a fighting game as such? Like,
no, or it's not a fighting game at all. It's funny you mentioned the Tales of games because I've never played like the Dragon Ball Budokai games because they always seem to review badly. And it's like, well, I don't want to play this game if it's not good. And I love the... I love Dragon Ball Z, so I don't want to play a bad version of it. So the combat is kind of... You've got you know, face buttons that you like, one of them can be like hold down a trigger and then press the thing and you can do like one of your super moves or special moves, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise you can just sort of hammer a circle and you'll just do like punches and stuff, and like X, I think it is like your fireball, so you know, equivalent. And it's fine. The combat's quite good. And then, you know, once you get into it a bit more and you get some more people in your party, like, you know, they can do assists and stuff and they can fight for it as well. So, do you know what I mean by the Tails thing? Like, you are moving around a battlefield and you are actively attacking, but it's not turn-based at all. It is active combat.
Yeah.
You know, you can be hit while you're... If I'm targeting you, someone can hit me from behind. It's all active all the time. The combat seems fine. Like, I've actually no problem with the combat. It's actually quite fun seeing your... You know, Dragon Ball stuff, like, it's really well animated and rendered. It looks like Dragon Ball, you know? Mm. Problem is, like, it's a bit... Some of it's a bit like Titanic syndrome. Like, you know, you can watch the film Titanic and thoroughly enjoy it, but you know how it's going to end, don't you?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's going to end with, you know, Jack hanging off the, you know, the raft as Kate Winslet lets him go. It's... Like, I know the story, so is it for me... Do I want to play through that story again? Not for 30 hours, if I'm honest with you. It's not good enough mechanically for me to go, yeah, 30 hours of this, when I know exactly what's going to happen. It also does this thing of, like, so when, like, oftentimes Goku will meet someone and be like, oh, I'm going to fight you, and valiantly lose, only to come back stronger. You know, spoilers for Dragon Ball Z, Goku dies regularly. Like, he doesn't even die once, he dies multiple times in that series. So that's kind of part of the story, you know, So it's does one of the things where you will win a fight, but then there's a cutscene where you lose the fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't really a very modern gaming thing. Like, nowadays, if there's an energy... It's almost that thing of, oh, I got rid of your health bar. Ha, 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 ha. Here's another three. But it doesn't even do that. Like, you defeat them, and then in the cutscene afterwards, they just defeat you and run off. And story-wise, it makes sense, because that's what happens in the story of Dragon Ball Z. But gameplay-wise, it's a bit like, well, that was pointless. That was all pointless. It also, like, the world's quite fun. I like flying around in the world, but also there's just orbs everywhere. So you've got this really good Dragon Ball Z-looking world. Like, it looks like the world Toriyama created. And then there's just orbs everywhere because they're, like, upgrade mechanics. And... bit weird, you know what I mean? There's all, like, RPG tropes of, like, you need to pick up stuff like apples and catch fish in a fishing game because you can cook them and they give you buffs. All that stuff is present, you know, that was all fine. It's all very much what you'd expect. But, like, you know, in the first 2 hours, for example, you're flying around with these random battles and every enemy's the same enemy because it's like these robots that have been left behind. And it, in terms of the game... They've tried to do that, I think, to make it make sense. Like, you can't be fighting big bads because they're the story beats. It's the story of Dragon Ball Z. But the random battles, they kind of feel shit. But, like, at the same time, after I started skipping a few, I found, like, a side quest that was tough because I'd skipped some of the battles and I wasn't quite high enough level. There's stuff there, like the community board, where you get characters and they're different. Like, some are fighters, some are adult characters, some are, you know, like, they've separated the characters and there's a lot of characters. But it's quite complicated and yet also not complicated. I'm not sure. Like, it's good. It's a good game. But I don't know who it's for because I have seen all of this before and it's well rendered. But also, saying that, this is a bit of an unfair thing to say, but Dragon Ball FighterZ is an incredible fighting game, and this isn't that. So I don't know. I mean,
how do you think, like, the hardcore Dragon Ball fans would respond to this game?
That's difficult, man, because, like I say, there's not been that many really good Dragon Ball games. Like, it's a bit misleading it's called Kakarot, because Kakarot is Goku's Saiyan name, his birth name. Mm. But you don't play as Goku the whole game. Like, you know, you play as Goku for a bit, and then you play as Piccolo for a bit, and I've not played more, but you will play as Gohan, there's no doubt about it. You know, you'll play as all sorts of characters in this game. So it could have just been called Dragon Ball Z. Like, that would have been fine, but I guess they had to subtitle it.
Just to make it stand out.
I don't know. It's a good game. Like, it's not buggy. There's some translation issues. The other thing as well is, like, in this day and age, so it's fully voiced, or at least you think it's fully voiced, And then once the sort of opening hour fades away and you kind of get into the rhythm of the game, the characters do that, hi, yeah, what kind of thing that a lot of RPGs used to do. And while I think, look, this is a long game, Fire Emblem did it, you know? And also, Dragon Ball Z exists. The story they're telling exists. Could they not have used dialogue that was already recorded? Would it have not been clean enough? I don't know. But it does stand out in 2020 when a game like Fire Emblem's come along, and that game's got some dialogue, man. Like, we all know it. That's got a lot of dialogue on. And the thing when I was reviewing that game is it kept impressing me. Is I kept expecting there to be moments where they wouldn't know we're going to do that. Hi, what thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And they don't. Like, that whole game is voiced. It's nitpicking, perhaps, but I think we might be past the point where that's okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree.
If the game is... So it's kind of like Octopath Traveler. Is that none of that's voiced? Well, or is it? I can't remember.
Oh, no, that. Jesus. No, that's like all pretty much voiced.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of a game. Yeah, of course it is, because it's got that annoying... There's characters that come from the woods that have got these really weird voices.
Yeah.
But if it's either got to be all voiced or not voiced at all for me, and otherwise it feels like they cheaped out. I don't know. I would like to see what a follow-up could be to this. Like, if they do, say, Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball... Well, not GT. I would... Or maybe either... I don't know. But a sequel could take some ideas and be really cool.
Yeah,
I don't think, like, I'm going to go through this for 30 hours, man. Like, it's...
Yeah, the voice acting is crucial.
It's the original voice actors, from what I can tell. They all seem to be there.
But it would just add a completely new layer of depth for this kind of game. Like, I can't for the life of me think of a game off the top of my head that does it, but there is a ton that does that whole delivery of voice and...
Like, well, they've just gone, hey, could you give me 10 lines that are positive?
Just something, yeah.
10 that are negative, and then we can use them as plate. Like, so whenever someone's saying, like, hi, Adam, how are you? Like, that voice line is just, hi, or hey. You know, like, they've given you 10 hey's or hi's or howdy's. Like, again, I sound down on it. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't think I'm going to be playing JRPGs if they're not on Switch anymore.
Yeah,
like, I just don't have. I mean, I'm gonna play Yakuza like a dragon, because that game looks like it's made for me. But that game is new. The thing of Dragon Ball is, although the game is new, the story is not. I'd have to look it up when Dragon Ball Z started. You know, it's not just the story's been told. The story is well worn. You know, it's 1989 apparently the first episode came out. It ended in 96, Dragon Ball Z. We're not talking a well-worn story. I don't know. I think it's for hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good way to... like, if you've never experienced Dragon Ball Z and you're like, I really want to, this is a really good way if you love video games, because it's all going to be new to you. I think I'm one of those, because I'm a fan, I'm nitpicking. It's a good game. It's a good game. That's what. And the other game I've played is like one of 2020's hottest games, 2017's Golf Story.
Lovely.
Have you played Golf Story?
I have. I've played a fair bit of it. Didn't get around to finishing it, but I've played a good chunk of it.
So why didn't you tell me it was good?
Ah, fuck it. I'm sure I did.
I read our review and I think it was like a 7.
I think when Sports Story got announced, whenever we were maybe talking about that on the pod.
Maybe.
Golf Story was definitely mentioned as like an absolute must if you haven't.
But Sports Story, that's what... So I think everyone can identify with this, right? I was sat there on a day off and I just, you know when you got Sophie's Choice, you know, of 200 games, but nothing. There's nothing that's going like, yeah, play me now. And I saw that and I was like, everyone was going gaga for Sports Story. I bought Golf Story and never played it. In fact, I think I might have been sent a code for it and never played it. I really can't remember. It's 2017. And so I downloaded it again, started it up, and was instantly... So, something I loved straight away, really small little thing that you might not even remember. So it's a very... The visual style is what it is. Like, it's recognisable. Retro, if you will. But the text is stylized in a way that is not retro. Like, every Y is kind of like almost italic and larger than life.
Yeah.
And I instantly went, I really like how this game looks, and it's got style and pizzazz. That, and the golf is really fun. It's a bit easy, but the golf is really fun. It's like an old game. I hated when like golf games went to the use the analog stick thing, because I'm a Mega Drive guy. I used to play, you know, PGA Tour golf with like tap, exactly the golf story thing. Mm-hmm. The story's charming. The characters are funny. The ideas are interesting. The leveling up is quite interesting. Golf Story is fantastic, and like now Sports Story is high, and I mean high on my list.
Yeah,
because like, the idea that they would add other sports to this, like a tennis version of this, for example, is like, yep.
Yeah, like the delivery of Golf Story is, I like it. It's outstanding that the announcement, the excitement for Sports Story is serious, because I really don't know. Like, there's slight improvements they can definitely make. Very slight, I personally feel, but the addition of opening up more sports makes this game, like, if you like golf, we're definitely going to enjoy Sports Story, and that's the way I see it. It kind of slightly terrifies me that you just mentioned that this game came out in 2017. That's insane.
I'm sure it was 2018, but like, I mean, if I again, I'll Golf Story, God is a Geek review, I will literally look at that now, and I am almost sure, yep, October the 11th, 2017, we'll publish that. It came out September 28th. 2017.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
it's super charming.
If I were to make one small thing I wish was better, is the putting. Like, the putting, the thing I am used to in any golf game is that there's quite a strong indicator of the way the green is. I don't think this game has that. It does have an arrow telling you, but it's not very precise. But then none of the game is precise. That's not the point of the game. I really like it, and it feels... I also downloaded Wargroove, because I've been meaning to play that for, again, probably 2017. There's new content coming to that soon, and I really want to get into that. Because, again, it's like a Fire Emblem Tactics game, and it's right up my alley. And I nearly started Fire Emblem again. DLC announced, I really thought about... I want to go through one of the other stories.
Yeah, wasn't there...
Because I saw a speed run of it. I saw a speed run of it.
What was the time?
Hang on, I'm probably going to have to check it. It was GDQ, Fire Emblem... 3 hours. I think you're probably... let me ask you what you think the time was.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
Give me a rough hour count. Not an exact one.
I'm going to say...
For those who don't know, the game took me, I think, 47... No, I think it was over 50 hours to complete the review.
I'm going to say it's just over the 30 mark.
Hours?
Yeah.
No, 1 hour 30. 1 hour 33, 43.
How is that possible? And I suppose that makes sense, because it's that fucking that event. So why would they be sitting up 30 hours?
But you think about it. If you hit start every time someone spoke.
Fair.
You'd cut a lot of that game out. But just a shout out. If you've never heard of it, GDQ or Games Done Quick, I love amazing. That stuff. It's just like, you know, I watched a Mario 3 run of it, and I really like that.
Like, thinking of that, actually, that does make sense, because if you are genuinely, if you're skipping all the text...
I still think that's quick. I haven't watched it all.
Oh, it is.
Just think about the battles alone. That's quick.
Well, yeah.
The monastery stuff, leveling up, you probably don't... Well, they don't. A lot of them do. Like, one of the Dark Souls one was, like, never leveling up. Yeah, okay.
And didn't they say something that, like, isn't there a new house being added?
Yeah, like a house that I think it combines all three of the leaders into one... I haven't read up on it actually properly, but I'm gonna play that. I think that'll be where I jump back in again, because I love that game when I reviewed it. That's it for games this week, but we can get into some listener correspondence. It's probably gonna be a bit of a shorter podcast this week. So before we get into listener correspondence, I will just say that we do a food podcast called Fork Off, where we rank three foods once a fortnight. And we are on episode 2, which I think is genuinely, and this isn't just me trying to sell you a bill of goods, I think that episode 2 of Fork Off is one of the best podcasts I've ever been a part of, ever. That's a $5 exclusive Patreon tier. We do video stuff as well at $10, but the Fork Off is $5, so you're essentially paying two $1.50 per episode, I suppose. But you also then get this episode of this podcast and every episode early and other stuff too. We do code drops. And that's patreon.com/godisageek. I'm sorry if you were already a member and you're like, oh, he's advertised to us again. But we really believe in our community. And the thing that I'm most pleased about with our Patreon isn't seeing the number go up, isn't seeing people sign up immediately at the $5 tier because they want the food podcast. It's seeing them join the Discord and chat to people and meeting the people. And we've got a really, really lovely community growing in the God is a Geek Discord, which is again a Patreon thing as well. So I'm really pleased with that. But listener correspondence, much of which this week is from our Patreon supporters. Adam Carroll, I'm going to start with this one.
Yes.
I think this is probably going to be a simple question for both of us to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I sort of worry it's going to be a bit boring, our answers, because I reckon I could guess yours and I reckon you could guess mine. So Adam Carroll, what is your favourite video game series?
Well, it's very obvious. It is The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yours?
It's Mario.
Yeah.
I thought about for a while saying Gears of War. But that would just not be true. It's Mario.
Be true, no.
It's Mario. Like I mean, once upon a time, I might have said Final Fantasy. But not now, because there's been too many of them that are just not... You know, it's almost like...
But I could say the same.
It's like Radiohead. I was going to say Radiohead. Like the band, I love them. The first album's great, second album's great. OK Computer's a masterpiece. And from then on, nah, no thanks. Muse did similar for me. First three albums great. Just now I can take them or leave them. But once you get those diminished returns of like, oh, I didn't like that album, I didn't like that game, whatever, you start to look at the series as a whole in a lesser way. Whereas with Mario, for me, it's just... I mean,
is your Mario game... Still, like, is your favorite Mario game still like Super Mario World?
It's World, yeah. World is the best game ever made, in my opinion.
Okay,
I don't think it's beaten. I think you can. I don't know if it's just the gameplay though, because there's something about the art style in that game where it just seems timeless. Like you could play Ocarina of Time, original game, and it would play well, but it would look dated. It would look old. It would look tough on the eyes. Mario World for me. It just seems timeless. Like, it doesn't look... I mean, maybe it's 2D and it's colourful. I don't know. It just...
Yeah, I couldn't... I can't really, like, argue with that statement because it is very true. Like, once World... You just look and within literally half a second, you're just like, Super Mario World. You're just like, I know, straight away.
Literally last year, you could look at my Twitter feed sometime last year when I played through World again and you could see me tweeting pictures of Star World and, like, the blue Yoshi and I just think it's probably the most perfect game ever made. I don't think a game's ever been as perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be my number one game of all time, probably, yeah, still. I suppose if I was ranking Mario games, maybe Odyssey would be up there now.
Oh, it has to be, dude.
Maybe Odyssey would be number two. I don't know. What would be your... I mean, would it be Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, Breath of the Wild is number one.
What would you be your number two Zelda game?
Probably Wind Waker.
Wow, so you're in the camp that wants the Switch version of that then?
Oh, too right. And I like, but if I'm brutally honest, if they said to me, Adam, you can have a Switch version of the Wind Waker HD or Skyward Sword, I'd go Skyward Sword.
So would I, because I never finished that one.
Yeah, simply because I've played Wind Waker to absolute death as well. Mm. I'd just be happy to have him switch, but Skyward Sword deserves that. It deserves another chance. It just does.
That's fair. That's fair. From our Discord, Thomas says he recently picked up Dead Space 1-3 on Xbox 360 for the princely sum of £5.50. So that was three discs, three box copies from CEX, £5.50. He says, I almost ran to the exit before I was reported for theft. What's your best gaming bargain?
My ones, I've definitely probably said this before, but I'll run through it quickly. A guy sold me he was trying to get rid of a Nintendo GameCube, and he came into work when I was working in GameStop, and he was like, can I trade this in? And I said, no, we don't take it. He was like, do you want it? And I was like, oh, geez, I can't take that off you. I goes, just, we're not allowed to just take stuff off customers like that while in work. But I said, like, how much would you be selling it for? Like, and he was like, well, I have a load of games out the back and stuff in my car. Like, you know, I just give them to you. And I go, man, I said, I have no money whatsoever. I actually had like a 10 euro note in my wallet, but that's still no money for
offering
give me a GameCube. But he came in with the GameCube, pristine condition, four controllers, just to rattle off some of the games. There was Eternal Darkness, Wind Waker, with Ocarina of Time as well, Double Dash, fucking Metroid Prime, like every Super Smash Melee, all of them, just every classic you could think of. And he just goes, there you go, I'll take the tenner off you. And I was like, are you serious? And he was just like, yeah, man. He goes, it's gonna just literally go nowhere. I was like, I just want to get rid of it. So I gave him 10 euro and he gave me that entire GameCube set. It was genuinely my favorite moment of like, holy shit, I am happy today. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
I can't give you any bargains. I can tell you that after Thomas did this, I went to CEX, my local one in Bournemouth, with actually the intention of I've got Dead Space 3 because I reviewed it, but I don't realize I didn't have a hard copy of Dead Space 2, and that's the only one they didn't have. So people, if you could go to Bournemouth CEX and sell some stuff. Well, I did have a look around because I realized every time I've been in CEX is to sell stuff and never really actually looked.
I always see people putting stuff up on CEX that they've got, and I'm like, the price of that is amazing.
I was the opposite. So I went in there, and I started looking at the hardware because I've just got this thing where I would love to have a few more bits of hardware because I did sell all mine. I mean, I haven't got any money now. Like, I found myself looking at a guitar earlier this week that I really wanted to buy, and I was like, yeah, but you haven't got any money. Have a word with yourself. So I stopped looking at that pretty quickly. But in CEX, I saw, and we can just have a little bit of fun here with it, right? I saw two bits of hardware that I was like, well, if I had some money. One of them was a Nintendo console, Adam. Tell me, in English pounds, how much you thought an N64 for sale in CEX was. If I wanted to take it home that day, how much?
What year was this?
Well, N64.
But like, when you were in CEX?
Oh, this was two Saturdays ago.
Oh, two Saturdays. Wow.
Yeah, this year.
Take home Nintendo 64 in CEX.
It was last
CEX.
Saturday, sorry.
120?
100.
100.
And to me, that is obscene.
It is and it isn't.
Okay.
Anyways. To walk into a place like CEX and see a physical N64 there, and then, like, and if it looks in good condition and stuff.
It looked all right, yeah.
Like, I would expect to be paying something along that lines.
But, man, you can get an Xbox One for nearly 100 quid.
Of course, but, like, if you go online to buy these kind of retro consoles, which they now are, you're haggling with people, and then they're like, maybe. Oh, no, this. Like, put it this way, it's very hard to get a lot of these consoles now under 50 quid. Like, I don't know.
I haven't got any money at the moment, but I would pay 50 if I had it. So that was 100, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, there was all sorts of stuff in there. Like, there was a PS3 controller there. Like, why? Why have they got a PS3 controller in there?
I know, there's something.
Yeah, and there were some other controllers that were like, oh, wow, lads, clean them. Clean these controllers.
Yeah,
console that I saw, and I was like, I don't think I have one, even in my mum's attic, was a silver PS2 Slim.
Oh, I have one.
How much do you think that was in CEX 2020? Because this is the one thought about. Could I? But it's like, it would just be an expensive decoration, so it would be pointless.
I'm going to say 30 to 40.
You are absolutely correct. 40 quid. 40 quid.
Yeah.
There you go. That's fun. Right. That was it. I had a look around, and like, there were copies of FIFA 15 in there. I mean, that's landfill, isn't it? You know?
Do you know who have the craziest of fucking prices, to be honest? Is if you ever go into your like local Tesco, and like, I don't know if they do like PlayStation games or anything like that anymore, but in my local one, you'll still find a sneaky one or two games just thrown in with all the DVDs and stuff. But I recently went into one, and they had Jax 3 on PS2. Is that right? PS2, I think it was. I think Jax 3 was on PS2. For 65 euro.
Well, that's...
So how are you getting on there? Like, that's just... Do you know, when you be sitting... I'm looking at it and I'm kind of going, when's someone going to realise this? Like, when is this going to happen? Like, because that is insane. insane. And I'm pretty certain it was the Platinum Edition of that game. It's just, some of the prices like that are just all over the place.
Well, it's karaoke time, Adam.
Yes.
And a microphone is thrust into your hand.
Ooh.
Now, Adam and I have both sung in bands, Adam to a slightly more professional degree than myself. So this is an important question for us.
Mm-hmm.
What song do you sing at the beginning of the night and what song do you end the night with? And would Adam Cook be able to avoid slipping into host mode? Yeah, I'll be all right. I'd just have a little sing. Well, yeah, I'll be... it depends. Is it our party? Maybe, yes. Adam, what song do you start with?
Ooh, I think, like, do you know, karaoke, first song. Do you know, whoever's going up in karaoke night for their first song, I think all eyes are on. All eyes are on you. You're always like, Jesus, here we go. I think, for me personally, I'd love to start off with a classic. You Suffer by Napalm Death. Simply because that song is precisely in length 1.316 seconds long.
Okay, that's sure.
just blast out You Suffer by Napalm Death and just walk off stage. People wouldn't even have time to register what just happened. And I think that would be some start. How about you? What are you starting off with?
I mean, it's a lot more boring. So there's a couple of drinks in, people, but no one's silly. I think I want a song that everyone knows and is going to get people singing along.
Yeah. Don't come at me with fucking 500 Miles Nobody Proclaimers or something like that.
I think I'd go for Wonderwall.
Would you go for Wonderwall? Would you?
Starting
off.
Well, it's too early in the night to do Don't Look Back in Anger. You know, isn't it, really? It's far too early for that.
But would you be busting at Wonderwall straight away?
Yeah, but I'm also the kind of cunt who'd probably pick up a guitar and say, hang on, I don't need a backing track. I'll just... this is my gig now. I don't need a backing track. I'm just going to do the gig.
This is just to extend that question, though. If it gets to karaoke, are you thinking about yourself or yourself and everyone else? Because if I'm going up in karaoke, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I can do best.
See, no, I'm thinking about everybody else.
Man, this is your night. This is your moment.
Well, no, I'm just... right. What song are you ending with?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to end with a favourite of mine, and that would be...
No, I want to change my starting song. Sorry.
You can? All right.
Africa.
By Toto?
Absolutely. Because I want them to know that dude can sing. And I'm pulling people up to do the harmonies.
Mm.
Yeah, we start with Africa. Or maybe Rosanna. Actually, maybe Rosanna. Because it's a bit more chilled. But yeah, Toto, basically. Sorry, end song, Adam.
End song, I think... in a dream world, if everyone in the room actually knew the tune and we were all after a couple of bevvies and everyone was really in good form, I would definitely go up and sing After the Party by Menzingers.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble is no one's knowing that.
Yeah, fucking, you can all go in and sing your Wonderwall song and be all...
I know it, I love it, but I don't think...
But that's what I mean. It's like, if people did, it would be amazing. And that's I what I think. I'm not going to go up and fucking end on Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight.
No, you're not. But
like,
that's a mid, early to mid night song, isn't it? Early to mid
That's I'm going for a fag song.
Yeah. I think I end on the most cliche of cliches, but I think what I end on be? Hey Jude. Hey Jude.
Hey Jude.
Because I think, again, everyone's pissed and you know the whole room is going na 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 na.
God, it sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, I know, but that's what you do. That's karaoke. Karaoke sounds like a nightmare.
Would you do it? Have you done karaoke?
I've never done it. Well, see, technically...
I actually had this discussion last night.
I have been on stage performing cover versions of songs with a guitar and a band behind me. Is that not technically karaoke?
I've
never done karaoke.
I've done it once or twice and it's a bit weird. But you know, you get some people who live for it. And I'm like...
Yeah, I do know those people.
I'm just like, fucking go on, you good thing. Like, they're absolutely loving life on this karaoke stage.
Mm.
Like, and it's like, do you know, they go for it. Like, do you know when some people, like, they'll get up on stage and then they're like, their first song is like a Whitney Houston song, and you're like, Jesus, you're
gold,
going for it. Like,
Gold is another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk comedy. What is your favourite scene from a comedy sitcom? For me, I think this is Thomas sent this in. For me, nothing comes close to Father Ted kicking Bishop Brennan up the arse.
Oh, it's absolutely 10 out of 10.
It's a good scene. So my genuinely one of the... So you know when celebrities die and everyone's like, oh, no, it's terrible. I've never experienced that until Rick Mayall died. Mm-hmm. And even part of me now is like, yeah, it's all some long gag. He's going to jump out and go, ha, I'm back, you bastards. You know, he's genuinely, like, growing up, he was an idol of mine. Like, the guy is just comedy personified, from comic strip to Bottom to like Alan Bastard, like how ahead of its time that was. You know, even like Believe Nothing, with where he plays Adonis Canute. I don't know, man. Like, there's just anything that guy's in. Like,
yeah.
Haven't you all got Smashing Blouses in? Smashing Blouses on, you know. Like, oh, I've Got Some Sad and Tragic News, when he ends up cocking it up live and he ends up laughing. I've Got Some Sad and Tragic News. just anything. Rick Mayall, just anything from Bottom. Like I say, just anything. Anything with Rick Mayall in. I'd be happy. That all my favourite scene is every scene Rick Mayall's in. Even when he was in Man Down with Greg Davis, he stole a show and he was brilliant. So, how about you?
Like, there's a lot of Father Ted. There's a lot of Father Ted, and I'm very happy to like say that, like, even with it being like kind of an Irish show, I love that. Like, I love it so much. I think when he has that whole situation with the black smudge on the window, and he's just going mental. It's
Father,
just so...
I hear you're a racist now.
It's so fucking
shouldn't have done
funny.
The accent really with you in the room. That feels wrong. But it's that is what she says. She says, "I hear you're a racist now, Father."
Yeah, there's all these kind of like I'm very much like I like on the nose dry humor like that as well though, and like the whole when Brendan Grace was in that episode. And, like, they're in bed and he's just like, what's he doing down there? It sounds like he's drilling holes in the wall. And he comes down, he's just listening to banging dance music and just drilling the holes. And I just get such a kick out of it.
What's the one that where he has the depressed priest round?
Jesus.
I think he's quite a famous Irish comedian.
And he gets electrocuted.
No, not that one. No, later on, the younger lad. And he ends up, the one he talks off the ledge, I think. And then the next episode, he's staying with him. And he's like he says about like he puts some music on and it's Shaft, and like he really gets into it, and then when he leaves he's like, oh, Father, I owe you that 20 quid. Ah, don't worry about it. Because really, and then he gets on the bus and then Radiohead starts playing.
Isn't that Tommy Tiernan?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah,
that's Father Kevin.
Yes, it is. I'm just looking him up now. That is him. Yeah, I've never seen him away from that, but I think Colin Mahern, friend of the show, once told me he was like quite a famous Irish comedian.
Oh, Tommy Tiernan is still.
Is he? But he gets on the bus to, like, he's all happy and they play that Radiohead song, Wake From Your Sleep. And it's just, the acting is actually genuinely great because he's like really happy. And you watch, and the camera just sits on his face going from happy to just like, it's gone. It's all gone again. Like, it's broken him. And that, I always love that sort of scene.
It's nearly every episode of Father Ted does it for me. But if I'm brutally honest as well, the one movie that gets me from start to finish is Airplane.
Ah, but that's not a sitcom.
Yeah, I know, but it's a comedy still, I know. But
I suppose.
Like, but no, if I'm going to pick sitcom, it is Father Ted.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would be there with you, but if not, it's like Rick Mayall is literally my comedy hero, so...
Yeah. I also would like to say Fawlty Towers.
Really? Controversially, I'm not a huge fan.
I get it. Like, I wouldn't say I'm like bursting out like with laughter, but I just like how chaotic it all gets in every episode. And yeah, I enjoy. There's a lot of stuff on UK Gold that I loved growing up.
Let's, do you love toilet etiquette? What's your view on it? If you enter a stall and someone else enters the neighbouring one at the same time, what do you do? Do you wait it out in a battle of wits? How long do you wait? No one makes the first plop. No one wants to make the first plop, do they? So this is obviously a number two. You've gone in the toilet for number two.
Yeah.
And you sit in the stall and you're about to go, and then the door swings open, you hear someone come in, and yeah, they sit down. What do you do?
What happens if you're midway?
Well, we can get to that, but what do you
like
do?
If you have a cliffhanger, what are you doing?
I hold it.
You hold us? Yep. How do you hold a cliffhanger?
Oh, no, I mean, if it's gumming out, I can't do that. But if I'm halfway through the poo, I can hold it till they've gone, I'll hold it.
But that's, okay. But what happens if you're
It's not that I'm a shy pooper, right? It's that I find farting and pooing still, to this day, Adam, I'm going to tell you, incredibly funny. I've been sat there, and I've sat down, and the strides are down, and the belts come off, and you sit there, and you're about to go, and someone bursting, and they sit down, and then you're like, oh my God, this is actually, my interest in this situation has overtaken my need to defecate, and then someone will just go, and it will just like splatter, and I have found myself with my hand in my mouth chuckling, like, don't laugh, and that often means I end up being the last one out, because I still find... The sound of farting into an echoey porcelain bowl. It's funny.
It is so funny.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, literally today, I was in a situation where I was about to go. In fact, I'd nearly finished. Sorry, and the door burst open, and I heard someone sighing, like really.
Oh my God!
I heard zip, and then urination. And that was it. They didn't come for... They came up the top flight of steps, even though there's a toilet on the bottom floor, which was reserved for urine only, all the way up to the top flight just to wee, and they were so out of breath, and I was like, I just want to know the story. So what's your view? What do you do? Because I've told you what I do.
I'll be honest, it's very rare that I actually do it.
Yeah, public. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's often a... sometimes I've done one, and I've thought, you know, I really wish I'd save that one for home. That seemed more like a home one than but if you get
I just get so sick of opening up toilets in public place and just being like, oh, for God's sake. I'm like, what has happened here? Do you know, there's just too many disasters. There's too many Titanics going on, and like, yeah. I'm just like, I'm through with
Titanic syndrome again.
Yeah, I'm through with disappointing myself when I'm say in the other room or something and I'm having beers and I'm like, right, I've made up my mind, I'm going to do this. And you go off and then you go up and then you see and then you agree to this. I'm like, now someone's just ruined my plan. But the thing is, right, I've a question for you. If you say are there in midway and then you said, like, oh, you'll hold on, whatever, like, until that person's gone. If another person comes in and then is the one next to you and then just takes off, do you join them in it?
I can't, because I'm having to try not to laugh.
But, I mean, like, there are some lads that
I've heard
going, and I'm like, you literally do not care.
You don't care, like, and you should. You should care, and you should see a doctor. You've got Titanic syndrome, mate.
Yeah, I have been in a situation of laughing so hard, and it's just like, oh God, this is desperate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting question.
It is. It's a great question.
Yeah.
What is your favorite food related saying? There's a surprising number when you really think about it. Start for 10, he says. He got himself into a right pickle. A food related saying.
Do you know what I actually say a lot? And it's pretty... it's pretty on the nose, really. But I actually say spuds a lot. Like, no, I don't. What? I just say the word spuds. If something like not spuds a lot, but like if something good happens, I go spuds. I don't know why. I just don't know why.
Right.
There's literally just a group of my friends that we just would say spuds on the job, spuds.
No, I understand the words you're saying now. Yeah, I...
like, I don't really have many other food-related sayings. Like, you can't say to write pickle. Yeah.
I mean, I've Googled this, so I'm going to read some to you. So, a bad egg. Watched pot never boils. Apple of my eye, bigger fish to fry. Bread and butter. That's, I mean,
it's your bread and butter.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a Cockney sort of slang or not.
Yeah.
But, bring home the bacon.
Yeah, I'd never see. Who says that? Would you say that? I'm bringing home the bacon. Like, you sound like you're a fucking...
I mean, I haven't said it in a while, but I have said it, yeah.
Sound like someone from Starship Troopers saying it.
Bun in the oven. I think maybe this one is the one I've said most. Butter him up.
It's a rotten enough one.
Hang on a minute. Oh, no, I was going to say for a minute I didn't understand this one. Bought a lemon. Yeah, I have. Okay. Cook the books. Cool as a cucumber. Couch potato. Cream of the crop. Chalk and cheese. Don't cry over spilled milk. Don't put all your eggs in one biscuit. Drink like a fish. Easy as pie. Eat humble pie. Eat you that one. There you go. Eat you out of house or home. House and home.
I've never heard that.
Do you know what it means, though?
No.
Like when, well, you know, my son eats so much, he's going to eat us out of house and home. When someone or something eats a large amount of food, it becomes costly. Expression stresses how expensive it is and jokingly means that people who are living in the house may lose their home to pay for all the food they're eating. Full of beans.
Full of beans.
You've said this before. Go bananas.
I do say bananas a lot.
You do.
I actually say, like, that's weird, actually. Because if I hear something that's just off the wall, I'll always end up going, that's absolutely bananas. Or Bananarama. I don't know why.
Knuckle sandwich.
What's a knuckle sandwich? Is that supposed to be good?
It's a punch. I'll give you a knuckle sandwich.
Oh, that's alright.
Have you never heard that one?
No, because I just don't know why someone would tell me they're going to punch me.
I'll tell you
me.
What, this one, pay peanuts, that's the one. I think I say that a lot about the job I work.
Yeah.
Say cheese. Take it with a grain of salt. There is a lot. Spill the beans, two peas in a pod, walking on eggshells, you are what you eat. That's just saying someone's
walking
fat.
Walking eggshells, yeah. Walking eggshells I've said a few times.
But there you go, there's a lot of them. Mm. I think, yeah. Happiness is egg-shaped, that's just a seahorse's song. But Adam, we must bring this podcast to a close because I've got Titanic syndrome coming on and I don't want to do that on the podcast.
But,
I haven't really, but it's a good way to end the podcast. Adam, thanks for your time. People can find
you
on Twitter
friend.
At Adam Zoakes, can't they? Zoax. They can find you on this podcast and on the food podcast. Again, patreon.com/goddessgeek. Thank you very much again for listening to everyone. It's been a fun podcast. Not as many games this week. Keep the questions coming. You can send them at Twitter, God is a Geek, that is, and Facebook if you want. Everywhere, just look, put the name in. You'll see our logo somewhere. You can send us a question. You can email, by the way, podcast@godisageek.com or just straight on Discord. That's fine too. Adam, again, sorry. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, man.
And everyone else, we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Titanic Syndrome. Bye.